Turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. We're going to take a look at a revelation that I was just given this week. Really powerful. It goes along with the series we've been in the face of God, and how He took Abraham in the face of God. He took Jacob into the face of God. He took Joshua into the face of God. When we go in front of the face of God, took Moses actually forwards and backwards. Moses, he encountered a lot of the face of God. We're going to look at him today. And when you encounter the face of God, there's an intimacy there, but also it's the glory there. And when you get exposed to the glory realm, He takes the limitations off. But what we're finding out is not just what God speaks, it's where He speaks from. The speaking from the position or place of finality. And He always speaks from that realm. And what He does is He brings men encountering the glory. He takes us out from the realm we're in, and He speaks from the realm of finality like He did Abraham. He said, "Walk before my face today, I will perfect you." And as He took him out in front of his face, He took him and He said, "Thy name is no longer Abram, but thy name has been Abraham." Well, He wasn't speaking that to Abraham where Abraham was. He took Abraham to where he was in that revelation. And then He took him all the way, because we know He took him to Christ that day, because He said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And He saw it. He took him all the way to the end, and He declared, "I have made thee a father of many nations." Well, He had not been made anything up to that point, but in spirit He was made, because God took him in His own self. He took him into the realm that was to come, but that realm that was to come was a finality realm. Amen? Now, we're going to look at the finality realm today with Moses. I call this teaching Revelations from the Rock. John 5 and verse 19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing but what He see the Father doeth. And whatsoever the Father doeth, the Son doeth likewise." We just got through saying the Father has worked hitherto, because you are working on the Sabbath day. And He says, "My Father worketh hitherto." It's Him that's doing it. And He goes, "If He's going to do it, then I'm going to work, because I've already done this once with Him. We're just doing it a second time." Every single great miracle that the Lord Jesus did, He'd already done it before He did it. He did it in the realm of the Father. And this is what He's opening to us, is how to walk in the realm of the Father. The Father's realm is huge. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want this in your heart. Then we're going to kind of jump in to two different operations that Moses had, or two different encounters he had with a rock. Moses and the children of Israel were encountering the rock. One was good. One was not so good. But both instances that God had brought Moses into a realm of finality before he actually did something. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 4, he said, "They did all drink of the spiritual drink," which is the water that came out of the rock. And he says, "They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them." They did in that rock was what? Christ. So today I want you to remember, when we're talking about what we're about to go into, that rock was Christ. And that's where God manifested, the Father manifested His glory in that rock, through that rock, by that rock. He manifested His glory to Moses and then eventually the children of Israel. And we're going to see how He manifested that glory when we look at both instances. There were two instances where water came out of the rock. One was Exodus 17. The second one was Numbers 20. Moses got it right the first time. He didn't get it so right the second time. But in both instances, he was caught up into the glory. Go to Exodus 17. It says, "The Rephidim." Now, in both instances, when there is no water, the people start getting cranky. The spirit of crankiness got on the children of Israel. Murmuring spirit, crankiness. I mean, they weren't just cranky. I mean, it's one thing to wake up with bedhead and need some coffee, but these guys had some serious issues when they would start murmuring. not only they murmured, but they went in full blown reverse, and they murmured to a degree that got them in a lot of trouble with God. And let's just look at what they said in Exodus 17, there was no water, verse 1 and verse 2. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why you chide with me? I'm not the one responsible here. And notice what he says, verse 3, and the people that they thirsted there for water, and the people murmured and said, watch what they said, wherefore is this that land you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? At least Pastor Chuck and I haven't gotten that far yet, where you brought us up to kill us. We've had a few things said about it. At least that one's not one. But they're accusing Moses and God. You brought us out of that land. You opened the Red Sea. You've done these miracles, but you did it all that you may kill us. And our children and our cattle. Does that sound like faith to you? I wouldn't want to be in that company. There were times that God blessed them under that situation. There was times he just opened the earth and swallowed them up. And Moses cried to the Lord and said, what should I do? These people are ready to stone me. We always remember the exploits, but there's time like this that it wasn't so easy being a leader, leading people. But God was leading him to a place where he could manifest the glory. And this is what he did that day. And verse 5 is where we'll pick this up. This is the beginning of it. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people. Underline that word before. Put eyeballs by it. And he said, take with you the elders of Israel and your rod where you smote the river. And then verse 6, I will stand before you. Underline that one, before. I will stand before you. Actually, that word before has a whole lot of connotation. Because I knew what God was doing here. I knew he manifested his glory here. And I knew he actually, when he said, I stand in front of you, I'm standing before you, I knew he did this glory thing with Moses. Before I even went to the literal translations, I already knew it was going to be a past tense situation. But I was thinking, God, where did you actually manifest your glory? So he said, I will stand before you there upon the rock, and thou shalt smite the rock. There's no shalt in there. There's no shall in the actual translation. Thou will smite the rock, and water will come out of it. The people may drink. And then Moses did so. So what happened? Let me read this to you from the translation of the literals. I have two of them. They both say the same thing. The Young's literal and the literal translation. I want to read this to you, what actually happened there. I knew God manifested his glory. I just couldn't see it where. I just saw Moses calling out and God gave him instructions, but that's not really what happened. God had actually manifested his glory in the same way he did with Abraham. Now, in Numbers 20, it'll just say God appeared before him in the glory of God. So we knew it, but here it wasn't so clear until God showed it to me. But let's read this in the literal and we'll see exactly what happened. So God goes out in front of Moses. He takes the elders out. He goes in front of him. He stands on the rock. So the Father's standing with Christ, the rock. Who's the rock? He's standing in Christ on the rock, and he's standing in that realm. And he's manifesting his glory, and this is exactly in the literal version what he says, literally. Both of them say the same thing. I'll just read the literal standard version. He says, behold, I'm standing before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you have struck on the rock, and waters have come out from it, and the people have drunk. And the other version says the same thing. And thou hast smitten on the rock, and the waters have come out from it, and the people have drunk. Now that's different than thou shall smite. It's thou has already, in the same way he did with Joshua. He was standing for Joshua in an eyewitness state, and he said, see that I have given. Now come in. He played the whole battle out for him, took him to the seventh day, heard the prolongation of the ram's horns, and the walls have fallen. That's what actually happened. God was doing the speaking for these men, but he was translating them out, and he was speaking from what we can consider a future tense, but with God, it was just a done realm. He had already done it. So he's standing on the rock of Christ in the realm that is to come, and he spoke to Moses, and he said, thou has already struck the rock, and water has already come out from the rock. And then when Moses comes out of the encounter, he goes and does exactly what God spoke, and he strikes the rock. And he said he did so, and the water came out. What caused this water to come out, what causes this living water to flow, what's causing and going to cause these creative miracles is the same prototype pattern that the Lord used, is I can only do what I see my Father doing. My Father worketh hitherto, his work's done, now watch, I'm going to do what I just saw him do. And that was all around that miracle of that man that was raised at Pool Bethesda at 38 years. When he actually approached him, he knew that he had been there a long time. The Bible says he knew. He had already seen this. In fact, we'll get into that teaching later of how much he actually says, listen, the Father loves the Son. He shows him all things that he doeth. And not only he showed me these things like you saw today with this man, but he shows me greater things than these. Everyone say, the Father loves me. And he shows me all things that he doeth. The Bible says when he showeth, he exhibits. The Father plays an exhibitation, an exhibit. He shows it to you in a real realm that's in himself, just like he did Moses, just like he did Abraham, just like he did Joshua, just like he did Jacob. Here Moses, he showed him the rock. He says, water has come out from the rock. You have spoken to the rock. Water came out from it. It's already done. You see how God is speaking from the realm that's completed. That is huge. Now, I was thinking, I knew that he manifests his glory, and it's very clear in Numbers 20, although Moses did something wrong, which we'll look at in a minute, I just didn't see where he manifested his glory. But I knew he did. I knew it by revelation, but I said, God, I know, where is it? I know you had it to manifest because you spoke to him from the glory realm. Guess what God said? Read it again. I said, I've been meditating for the last hour. He said, read it again. And I read it again. I said, it says the same thing. He goes, read it again. And when God's telling me that, that means you got to go dive a little deeper. And then all of a sudden, this is the way God works with me. I don't know how he works with you, but as I'm meditating, this word jumps out while I'm meditating. And this word, verse 6, behold, I will stand before. And that word before went like this. Before. So what do? I go look it up. I go to the weak strongs. I go to Bible Hub. I love Bible Hub. Bible Hub got 50 translations. I'm going to find what that means. I want to go to the interlinear, outer linear. And it was so easy as soon as I saw it. And there it was. Guess what it means? It's our favorite subject. We have like 20 teachings on it now. Panim. I will stand before you. I will stand on the rock in the face of God, and I will bring and I will stand with you in the face of God, and I will bring you to where I am, and you will encounter my face, and I will bring you out from where you are into a finished realm. And when we're done, you have already spoken to the rock before you even speak to it, or where you ever strike the rock, you already stroke it, because in God it's done. That's why he says you're already raised together. You've already been made an heir. How is an orphan made an heir when an orphan's running around? He is a full-age son. He just doesn't know it. And he actually is a full-age joint heir. He just doesn't know it. Because in God's eyes, you're finished before he ever begins. But we got to get us to where he is. To draw him to where we are. And God said, you got to come to where I am if you can this stuff. But my word. And I kept saying, well, encounter me then. You're encountering everybody else out there. Come on. Come get me. God said, no, you know, I don't work with you like that. I'm like, well, why not? It'd make it a lot easier. I just bow my head down and bam, I'm there. Whoosh. But the Lord said, I am teaching you to encounter me by my word. I am him that was. I am him that is. And I am him that is to come. I'm first and last. I'm Alpha and Omega. you can walk out into me. Where do you think I spoke that word from? From the done realms. And he took Moses into the face of God. And he says, you have struck the rock. And waters have come out. Why did he do that? Because God speaks from the position of finality. When I was meditating upon the Father doeth the works. And when I was meditating upon John chapter 5. All right, here it is. The Father worketh is what I was meditating on. The Father worketh. He's always at work hitherto, and I work. How does the Father work? Listen to this. How does the Father work? We know how the Lord works because that's the manifestation. But how does the Father work? Because the Lord said he works first and then I work. We do this first together with him and then I do it in the earth before man. He said he issues the perfect solution to any problem from the creative realm of finality within himself and releases that solution through the inheritance of Christ in the form of creative plans, thoughts, words, and images of finality, freedom, liberty, and victorious outcome. Those plans, thoughts, words, and images must be received, agreed with, acted upon from the realm of finality via faith, seeing, and the spoken word. And when you step in to what God has said in the realm of finality and you agree with it in our covenant, we're doing the speaking. I found a lot in the old. He would do it for them under covenant with Abraham. He did the speaking with Joshua. He did the speaking with Jacob. He did the speaking with Moses. He did the acting and Moses came out and did. But with our covenant, we've been given that dominion, restored dominion and authority. And he recalls us to do the speaking. Say me and you. And the Lord said, he goes, I'm the author and finisher of your faith. I said, yeah, I know that. He goes, no, I'm the author. He goes, no, I'm the author. I said, what are you trying to say? That's a better answer than, don't act like you know something when God's trying to say something. He goes, if I'm authoring faith, he goes, a lot of things what people call faith, he goes, I'm not authoring that. He goes, if I author faith, I do it my word. I do it by my word. If I'm authoring faith, it's going to be, he goes, faith will be in your mouth. It'll be in your heart. It'll be in the frontlets of your spiritual eye. It will be there and it will be there on a consistent daily basis. If I'm authoring it, that's where it'll be. A lot of people say, well, he's the finisher. He'll come finish my faith. Well, he's going to come and do it for me. That's not how faith works. You engage with God into it. See, if he is authoring it, you're going to come into a divine union with him. He's going to start teaching your mouth how to get in alignment with what he says. And your mouth is going to become a motor with a generator behind it. He goes, I make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument having teeth. And you will thrash the mountains and beat them small. Everyone say, I am a new, sharp, threshing instrument having teeth. We thrash the mountains. Our faith should have these things on a daily basis. It should be rolling out of our mouth. It should be rolling in the midst of our heart, in the frontlets of our eyes. Faith should be active. Active. He goes, if he's authoring it, that's what it's going to look like. That's not my definition. That's his definition. That's not my definition. That is his definition. Amen. Okay. So we see that he manifested the glory. He said, waters come out of the rock. All Moses did is come out of that encounter. It's already done. And he took the rod and he went, whoosh, smote the rock and the water poured out and watered 3 million people. Man, I mean, if you see something like that, now, I don't know about you, but if I'm in a wilderness situation and I'm thirsty, I'm going to be thinking, let's dig. Let's at least dig. Let's go find me a river, God. Show me where the river is. And God said, just that rock right there is good. I'm like, that is the last place that I would look for water. But I said, remember the creative plan of the Father. He is creative. He's not bound by anything. How would you like to be Moses? God helped him out a little bit because he took him into the glory and said, you've already done this. You struck the rock. The water came out. And so all he did is come out of that realm and hit it and bam. But still, how would you like to do that in front of everybody? at least God took him away from the people. You know why he took him away? Because he had to take him away from the unbelief. He just showed me that. He said, I called the elders out. I got them away from the unbelief. Your faith is not going to work if it's surrounded by people of unbelief. You cannot surround, put your ear with people of unbelief, murmuring, strife. You can't do that. Your faith, you got to come out. See, he separated. These people said, you brought us out to kill us. He goes, listen, you'll come and demonstrate my glory back to them, but come out for right now. Come out, leave them, bring the elders with you, and let me show you my glory. And then you will water them all. We'll give them water today. He was being nice that day. He could have just opened the earth to them. See, there's times we get really angry, and there's times he said, listen, let's just overlook their stuff today and give them water out of the rock. This should be enough to show that I'm God. I'll bring a whole river out of this rock right here, and they'll know it's me, and then they'll worship me, and they'll never doubt me again until Numbers 20 shows up. And then they're going to be right back at it again. So let's go to Numbers 20 and see what happens. Okay, Numbers 20, verse 2. There's no water. Here again, they come to the place where no water. Now watch what they say. They didn't even get it the first time. And the people chose, but Moses spake, saying, would to God we had died with our brethren who died before the Lord. What? Why have you brought us up to the congregation of the Lord in this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? They're doing the same thing. But Moses is getting a little upset now. Moses, he's going to encounter the glory of God, but he's going to allow his old man to override that. But we'll look at that in a minute. Wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It's not a place of seed, of figs, of vines, or pomegranates. Neither's any water to drink. Does that sound like faith? And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly of unbelief. From the door of the tabernacle, they fell on their face. Now here we see it, verse 6. What happened? The glory of the Lord appeared. When the glory appears, get ready for fast forward. You want to fast forward in the glory, whether you do it by the word or by encounter, because from that realm, God finishes everything right there and it's done. When we learn to speak from the finished done realm, we're going to see a whole lot more. We're just now learning to do that now. It's not just saying something in reverse. It is done. It's being in the done place. That's what he meant. Believe you received and then speak from that place. The word has to bring you there. Now he's in the glory realm, right? He appears. He takes him into the glory. And verse 8, you got it. What happens? Take the rod, gather assembly. Aaron, thy brother, speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water. That's not actually what it says. He says, take the rod, assemble the congregation, you and your brother, and you have spoken to the rock before their eyes, and it's what? Given its water. Done. Finished. Finality. Complete. And you have brought water them from the rock, and have watered the congregation and their beast. Say, you have spoken. In the realm of the glory, God had completed the miracle and said, you have spoken to the rock. But Moses comes out from the glory, and what does he do? He goes back into himself. How many times do we come out of God's encounter with his glory and come back to circumstantial self? Circumstantial. Abraham did the same thing. God finished him that day, cut a covenant with him, everything. He comes back and God said, now it's going to come through your loins. He starts laughing because he's back into where he is. He hadn't made that journey where God just journeyed him. See, some parts of you have to actually make a journey after God encounters you in the journey. But he finishes it nonetheless. He will finish you. And we need to be finished in this generation. Amen. Because we are generation resurrection. He's going to finish us with a life. So what does Moses do? He comes out. He goes, why must we fetch? See, what did God say? You have spoken. He didn't tell him to strike the rock. You have spoken to the rock, and the waters have given forth. The rock has given forth its water. He said that before their eyes. He comes out of it. He gets into his soul. He's angry. He goes, why must we fetch water for you rebels? And he takes the rod that he struck the rock with the first time, and he strikes it twice. Uh-oh. The water came out. But he was in trouble. He was in trouble for a number of reasons, because who was the rock? Christ. And Christ was only going to be struck once. He said, say not in thine heart in Romans, who will ascend and bring him back down, or who will descend and bring him back up. The word is nigh thee. What he did was finality. When he said it, it is finished. It was completed. When he was raised from the dead, it was done. It doesn't need another strike. It doesn't need any more. He struck it once. And he had already done that. He had already struck the rock once. What had God said? You have spoken. We are to speak. Say, speak to the rock, and it'll give forth its water. But in Moses' case, you spoke to the rock. But he didn't come out and do that. He struck it. And God said, you did not sanctify me before the eyes of the people today. Therefore, you will not go into the promised land. You struck the rock twice. When we disobey from the glory realm, that's a far greater disobedience than from the natural realm. Because God had already finished that thing before he brought him out. And all Moses had to do was just speak. Exactly what he just saw God do. And the water would have come out. But it really wasn't the end of the story, but it was that day. Pretty harsh, wasn't it? Sounds kind of harsh. It's like, you did all this awesome obedience, and then because these people got you upset once and you lost it, that you didn't get to go in. But God even has mercy. It was that congregation's fault, Lord. But even God had mercy. He knew there would need to be a change of leadership. Anyway, he knew there needed to be a Joshua generation. But God fulfilled his promise at another time. God let him stand his feet for the first time on the promised land in the Mount of Transfiguration, during the time of the one he foreshadowed. And he got to stand there witnessing the one he foreshadowed. And he got to stand down in the earth. So God didn't just qualify him for eternity. He just disqualified him during that time. But when we encounter the realms of glory, what God is going to do in this hour is he's opening the realm of his glory in the face of God. Not only is that the place of intimacy, but it's also the place where he's going to begin shifting us into finality. Say finality. Into the realm that's done, completed. He has completed our generation. Think about this. Think about the law of the Spirit of life for a minute. Think about the day you were born again, when you called upon the Lord, what happened? That law was initiated in a spiritually dead, eternal spirit. It initiated immediately through one confession and one act of belief, took a dead, eternal spirit and brought it to life for eternity. Now, that law wasn't done. Because he already pre-programmed a second operation inside of it, because Romans 8 tells us he did. What does Romans 8 tell us? When he's speaking of the resurrection of the body, he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but he also said, it will be manifested from the glory, will be revealed from within us. Say, the glory will be revealed. The resurrected body is not coming on us. It's coming out of us. Say out. That's a big difference. He says the glory will be revealed. Why? The law of the Spirit of life is going to initiate a second time. That's why he said you already have the earnest. It's going to be initiated. And this time it's going to take a mortal body that has a time limit of age on it. And he's going to take the mortal body, and he's going to recreate it into immortality in a twinkling of an eye. Your body just passed from mortality to immortality. Your body gets born again, and it moves to eternal state in a twinkling of an eye. Think about the power to do that. That power has already been pre-programmed inside. Mark was talking about it. The glory. Say the glory. the manifested glory, the law of the Spirit of life. When we rise up to know who we are, that law is going to release its glory from inside out. The hope of glory is coming out. Now, before that day, God is going to start showing the witness of resurrection generation. We're going to start wearing the visible glory of God as the law of the Spirit of life is going to start getting initiated in God's people. The final glory of God's coming out. He's hidden it within, and it's going to come out pre-stage for people to start seeing as we bear the witness. You are in the last time. What you're seeing on our body, everyone that's born again is about to get one of these. And though it may not sit upon you always, it'll do the Mount of Transfiguration thing. The light of the glory of God's going to start shining through us in this hour. That is awesome. Let's give God glory. Listen to this verse in Romans 8. The reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Where? In us. And he talks about the resurrection body. Think about what God's going to bring out in the last days, the transformational righteousness that will literally break out through our soul, through our body, shine like the glory in His strength. That glory is not coming on us. That glory is coming from within. The law of the Spirit of life, Jesus said in John 4, it's going to be a well of living water that's going to spring up with eternal life. By John chapter 7, what did He say? It's going to be a river. Say, the Father loves me, and He shows me all things that Himself doeth. The Father loves me. The Lord said, this is your new confession. Say it every day. The Father loves me. And you show me all things that you doeth. The whole next generation, you're not going to be surprised anymore. You're going to live the miracle before it happens. You're going to live it in the Father. You're going to see it in the Father. You're going to dwell it in the Father. You're going to come out of the Father like the Lord. I can only do what I see my Father and my rock doing. And boom. And everybody's going to go, oh, you already did your oh moment with God. See, God is going to wow you first, and you're going to come out wowed. And by the time you get to the person with a wheelchair, will thou be whole today? Jesus, he knew darn well the dude was going to be whole that day. When he walked up, he said, will thou be whole today? Because look, me and my Father already saw this today. I know you've been there a long time, but me and my Father, but will thou be made whole? Get up. He said, rise and get up. Why could he do that? My Father worketh hitherto. He had already done that miracle with the Father. He had already lived in the realm. Just like Moses went into the realm. God is going to teach us how to walk in the realm that's completed. How to walk in the finished realm and how to bring the finished realm here. It's going to be a lot easier because when God finishes it there, when time you step back here, it's going to be a whole lot easier to do it. Amen. We're still trying to get him to do it here. That's what the problem is. We're trying to get him to do it here. And what did God say? I've already done this. What's my prerequisite qualification? Here it is. Believe that you have received. You're going to have to get translated into a received, finished, completed, done place. That's how the kingdom works. It finishes and then starts. It's done, then begins.